I'd wanted to just talk briefly from Habakkuk chapter 3, verses 11 to 19. Habakkuk chapter 3, verses 11 to 19. If you can, would you please stand as we read this passage together? Habakkuk chapter 3, verses 11 to 19. The sun and the moon stood still in the heavens at the glint of your flying arrows, at the lightning of your flashing spear. In wrath you strode through the earth, and in anger you thrashed the nations. You came out to deliver your people, to save your anointed one. You crushed the leader of the land of the wickedness. You stripped him from the head to foot. With his one spear you pierced his herd. When his warriors stormed out to scout us, gloating as though about to devour the wretched who were in hiding. You trampled the sea with your horses, churning the great waters. I heard my hand pounding, my lips quivered at the sound, decay crept into my bones, and my legs trembled. Yet I will wait patiently for the day of calamity to come on the nation invading us. Though the fig tree does not bud, and there are no grapes on the vines, though the olive crop fails, and the fields produce no food, though there are no sheep in the pen, and no cattle in the stores, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I'll be joyful in God, my Savior. The sovereign Lord is my strength. He makes my feet like the feet of a deer. He enables me to tread on the heights for the director of music on my stringed instrument. God, thank you, for you are the Savior. You are good. And we can find joy in you. And may we find joy in you this morning. In the name of Jesus. Amen. Go ahead and have a seat. We find this man, Habakkuk, having a real talk with God because Habakkuk, you see, grew up in a time when the kingdom of Babylon was on the rise. You know, the Babylonians were on the rise. But then, you know, in his own people, the Israelites, the people of God, there was a lot of injustices that was happening, a lot of suffering, a lot of injustices that was happening. So Habakkuk is just kind of like a different kind of prophet. You know, with a lot, most prophets, like, they go to God, they hear from God, and they go to the people and talk to the people about what God is saying. But actually, he is observing and seeing what's happening with the people, then he's telling that to God. So, like, yeah, he writes these laments because he complains a lot. He complains a lot. So he writes these laments to God, and he just goes over and over again, and his heart breaks for the injustices that he sees around. Now, God gives him an answer. And the answer that God gives him says, okay, don't worry. I will send the Babylonians to sort that issue out. And then Habakkuk was like, what? Wait a minute. You know those times when you pray prayers to God and you receive a different answer from God than you anticipated? This is what's happening here. Because Habakkuk is thinking it is God himself who sought out all these injustices, but then God has chosen the Babylonians to come, and he had an issue with that because he says, okay, maybe you don't really hear it. There are injustices happening with these people, and now you are sending a nation which is more oppressive, more unjust. Like, what's going on? Why are you sending that nation to come and sort this stuff out? But then God assures him that to not worry, because in the end, God will actually bring justice and righteousness, and he will bring salvation to his people. And then that answer satisfies him. So he ends this chapter in hope, with a hopeful prayer, where he says, yet I'll rejoice in the Lord. I'll be joyful in God my Savior. The sovereign Lord is my strength. In the face of chaos, Habakkuk had to choose to rejoice in God. In the face of difficulty, Habakkuk chooses to see God as his strength. In the face of uncertainty, Habakkuk chooses to see God as his Savior, as his Savior. In 2019, we lost a young person in this church to cancer. Mai was coming to our church, and she was working for an organization out in Salim, and this one day she wakes up, and as she was about to get out of her bed, she just feels this excruciating pain. And she couldn't walk. And then someone else comes in and takes her to a clinic, stays there for a week. And they're like, there's something else wrong with you. They thought it was just like her back. And they said, you need to see a physio. So they sent her back in the city here. And she started seeing a physio at African Bible College. And our office, a flat office, used to be there. So whenever she would she'd finish her physiotherapy, she would come to the office. And she's like, I'm bored. I just want to, you know, be doing stuff here, you know. And we welcomed her in. We said, yeah, please come through. So she started helping us out. It was absolutely amazing. Months passed by. She goes to Blantyre for a week, and then she never shows up. And I'm like, what's going on? So I'm following up with her, and she says, bad news. They just found me with breast cancer on one side. So I will need to go through surgery and chemotherapy as well. So I go in and to have a chat with her before she started her chemo, and I said, how are you feeling? And she said, Humphreys, I'm scared. I'm scared of death. We prayed together, and then a few months later, I went back after she had started her chemotherapy, and I said to her, how are you feeling? She said, I'm okay. I'm fine. I said, yeah, remember you said you were very afraid. She's like, I'm no longer afraid. I'm actually at peace right now. She finished her chemo and was looking great. I was looking absolutely great. And one time I was coming from Blantyre, I stopped by because she was based in Zomba. And I went to have a chat with her and we were cracking jokes. And I heard of the amazing things that she was doing in the city of Zomba. She's saving the street kids, going every week, reaching out to these kids in the streets. And she's like, this is my ministry. I think God wanted me to be here. It's like, this is absolutely amazing. At the end of our chat, she says, I didn't want to tell you this, and I'm not actually telling this to a lot of people, but I just received the news that they have just found cancer on the other side as well. So I need to go through chemotherapy again. Just as she was getting better, she was hit again. And I asked her the question, how are you feeling about this? And her answer was, I thank God. I know that He is good. In the middle of it all, God is good. How do you get there? How do you get to that space that you are faced with suffering and pain? And you can say, I thank God. I know that He is good. In the middle of it all, God is good. How do you get there that you are faced with so much hardship in your life? So much uncertainty in your life. And you can say, I know God is good. In the midst of it all, God is good. How do you get there? And this passage did remind me of mine, because in this passage, Habakkuk, from verse 17, he says, though the fig tree does not bud, and there are no grapes on the vines, though the olive crop fails, and the fields produce no food, and that there was no sheep in the pen and no cattle in the stores, yet I'll rejoice in the Lord. I'll be joyful in God, my Savior. I'll still see God as good. And He's not just general about this. He's very, very specific. He speaks to the things that he could experience himself. And hear it as this. Even though I have no money in my bank account right now, I'll still rejoice in the Lord. Even though I lose my job and I have no idea where my rentals will come from, I'll still rejoice in the Lord. Even though I lose my business and I have no idea how I'll cope with life, I'll rejoice in the Lord. Even though I lose that scholarship opportunity and my hope for education is gone, I'll rejoice in the Lord. Even though this relationship never works out, I'll rejoice in the Lord. Even though things are taken away from me, I'll rejoice in the Lord. Even though it's been over 2 years now that I've been searching for jobs and I have not any prospect for any work at the moment, I'll rejoice in the Lord. Even if I don't get married by the age of 30 and my peers are getting married, I'll rejoice in the Lord. Even though I lose my health like Moai, I'll rejoice in the Lord. I thank God. I know He is good. In the midst of it all, God is good. A few months later, we lost Mai. But she had found this connection with God that she would still say, God is good. Habakkuk, being faced with this hardship, still says, my joy, I'll still rejoice in the Lord, because his joy is not going to be dependent on the stuff that he's holding, the stuff that he has, but his joy is going to depend on God who never changes. Your greatest joy is not in what you have, but in who you have. Actually, even better, in him who has you. He holds you. Because there are actually times when maybe you let go of God, but he never lets go of you. He's got you. He has you. So in your moment of hardship and uncertainty, how can you still say and see God as good? And I just wanted to just highlight three truths that we see in this passage that will help you to embrace that God is good all the time. The first truth we see here is that see God as both the giver and the savior. See God as both the giver and savior. Verse 18 says, yet I'll rejoice in the Lord. I'll be joyful in God, my savior. It is God who gives us good things, for every good and perfect gift comes from the Father of lights, James says, James 1:17. But God is not only a giver of good things, God also saves. When you see God as only the giver of good things, you will resent him when he chooses to serve instead of giving. You will resent him when he chooses to not give you the job that you want. You will resent him when he's not willing to give you the school that you want, or maybe the money that you want. So don't let us see God as the giver, but see him as the savior, because God saves. For Habakkuk, he could say, I'll find joy in God, even when there is drought, because he knew that even in the drought, God will save me. God will save me in the drought. He believed that it is God who gives good things, but also it is God who saves, because it is God who gave the grapes in the first place anyway. It is God who gives the cattle. It is God who gives the sheep. It is God who gives the vines anyway. And if those things are taken away from me, I'll still rejoice in God, because I know that he will save me. Even though I face this hunger, but this won't kill me, because God will save me from it. God will save me from it. God has done that over and over again for you and other people. And there are times when God chooses to serve instead of giving. I'm thinking about Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. That God never gives them a way out. God never gives them a way out. He actually says, I'll allow you to go in the fire. I'll allow you to go through it. But in it, I will save you. In it, I will save you. God comes and God saves his people. So trust that God will give you good things, but also trust that God will save you when you don't get the good things. Trust that God will give you good things, but also trust that God will save you when the bad stuff happens to you. He will save you. He gives and he saves. I don't know where you're at right now. I know life at the moment is crazy. Life is hard right now. But God gives and God saves. And we need to trust him that he will give and he will save us. Truth number two, trust God's ability to decide what's good for you. Trust in God's ability to decide what's good for you. Verse 19 says, the sovereign Lord is my strength. The sovereign Lord is my strength. When we say that God is sovereign, what that means is that God does whatever God wants, whenever he wants to do it. And no one can decide for him what's good. No one can decide for him what's best. He is sovereign. He is sovereign. And he says, the sovereign Lord is my strength. In the middle of this economic crisis that, you know, Habakkuk will experience, he probably us as well, we're experiencing right now. In the middle of drought, he believed that God is good. And God will decide what's good for him. For he is sovereign. So therefore, the sovereign Lord is my strength. He is my strength. We must not only believe that God is able to do good, but we must also believe and trust him that actually he's able to decide what is good for us. Because not all good things are meant for you. You know, some good things are not really meant for you. Yeah? Marriage is great, but it might not be good for you. Business is good, but it might not be good for you. A master's is good, but it might not be good for you. Or not good for you at that moment, at that time, in that season. Not all good things are good for you. So therefore, let's allow God to decide what's good for us. What's good for us. And we need to make a choice of trusting him because he is sovereign and he's going to be our strength. This other time I was listening to a sermon by Timothy Keller. I was talking about prayer. And he said this statement, which I love. He said, the answers we get from God could have been the very things we ask from God if we had the perception of things of the way God does. If you had the opportunity to see the way God sees, you could have easily accepted the answers that God gives to your prayers. Often we find ourselves getting frustrated with the answers that God gives us. And it's because we're not privy to seeing things the way God does. If we had the privilege to see things the way God does, we could have seen that what he has given us is exactly what we needed. So therefore, we could have easily accepted it. Like, sure, thank you, you've given me exactly what I needed. So now, even though we cannot see that, but you can trust in God to decide what's best for you, that the answers that he gives you to your prayers, even though they might be different from what you're hoping to get, you still trust that this is what I needed, exactly what I need in my life right now. That's what trusting God as sovereign, seeing him that he will do what's best for me. So therefore, you can trust in God. Truth number three, trusting that God gives his strength to the weak. Trusting that God gives his strength to the weak. Verse 19 says, the sovereign Lord is my strength. He makes my feet like the feet of a deer. He enables me to tread on the heights. He enables me to tread on the heights. God will give strength to the weak. Habakkuk had to believe that even in his moment of weakness, God will be his strength. God will be his strength. And I think God gives us strength whenever we need it. There's a joke I often talk about. Most of you have seen that. There's a meme of a fuel gauge, you know. And the other people, when it's like half tank, they freak out and be like, oh, I need to fill up my car, you know. And then there are those of us that like, we're not just like on the E, but we are like below E. And we say, I'll be fine. I know my car. You know, I know my car. I'll be all right. And I think here it happens a lot. And I'm thinking, I think God is like, is Malawian, you know? Like, you know, do I need to get to town or get 2,000 kwacha fuel? Let's put that in. We'll see, you know? We'll do what we do, you know? We'll see. I think God does that. Like, whenever you need that strength, he comes through and he'll give you. And it might not be a full tank. It might just be to get you through the next hour, maybe the next day. But he will provide his strength. He'll provide his strength. And you have been in those situations saying, I don't know how I went through that, but somehow I did. It was God giving you the strength. God will strengthen the weak. And we need to believe and trust that God will strengthen the weak. How can you apply this sermon? I just want to give you two practical things that you could do to apply this sermon. Number one, be intentional in cultivating a heart of gratitude. Be intentional in cultivating a heart of gratitude. Having joy in God, sometimes I think it can be so hard to explain like what that is. Like, what is it just laughing in God? Like, what is the joy? What is that? It can be so hard to know exactly what that is. But I think one way of having joy in God is being grateful, being thankful. A heart of gratitude will say, even though I enjoy the good things that God gives me, but my greatest joy is actually in God. That God is my greatest joy. So we can thank God when God gives us good things, But also we can be thankful to God when we lose the good things that he gives us. When we lose them, we say, I lay down what's taken from me with gratitude. This is an attitude where you say, I thank God that he gave me an opportunity to enjoy this. I thank God he gave me an opportunity to love this, to have it in my life. But now it's no longer there. That attitude focuses more on the giver than on the gift. That God is good. So be intentional in cultivating a heart of gratitude in your life. Secondly, be intentional in cultivating a heart of generosity. Be intentional in cultivating a heart of generosity. Through generosity, we remind ourselves of what truly matters. That in the end, God matters more to us than the stuff that we have in our lives. That in the end, the things that God is about matters more to us than these things we hold. So therefore, we need to cultivate a heart of generosity. Generosity is a way of trusting God to provide for us, that we trust that he will provide for me because God is so generous. Therefore, I can be generous as well. I can be generous as well. And I want to invite you guys to consider, if you enjoy and love what we do here, to consider giving to our church. And if you are not yet a giver, to this church, I want to invite you to consider giving to our church. There's amazing things happening here. We support the Flood Church, our sister church out in Mzuzu as well. If you don't know, we just planted a Flood Church this year in Mzuzu. It's going amazing. It's going absolutely fantastic. For us to pay rentals to be in this space, for us to pay our staff and do outreaches and all of these things that we try to do, we definitely need finances. We don't talk about it enough, but Christ actually did talk about finances a lot. And I think he talks about where your treasure is, that's where your heart is. And I often think of the other way, like, where my heart is, that's where my treasure is. Actually, no. Like, the attraction that the treasure has of your heart is insane. So therefore, you need to direct your treasures to the right spaces so that your heart can go to the right spaces. And what a better way to do that in the kingdom of God. So I want to invite you to consider be a regular giver, actually, to our church. On the slip of paper that you have received, on the you can sign up there, and when it comes to the giving, you can choose to give to Mzuzu, and maybe just a one-time gift, or maybe you could do that a monthly. And I want you to just think about for the next 3 months. Think about for the next 3 months how your giving could be, because we're gonna do this again in October. We have tried to make it easier for people to give here, like through PayPal. If you have maybe a foreign account, you can give through our PayPal account as well. You can give through bank-to-bank transfers. That's be Standard Bank or National Bank. You can give through Airtel or TNM. Actually, for Airtel, I just want to highlight, we have created a wallet. So you know how you go and pay bills, like *211#. If this is for Airtel, guys, if you're using Airtel and use Airtel money, you go in there. It's gonna give you like these options. You choose make a payment, and then on the other, then it's gonna say put in a nickname. Nickname is just Flood, and then you enter amount and reference. It could be like June tithe or whatever it is, or June giving for you. That's gonna happen. So this is a new thing that I just started this week, actually. So take note of that. If you use Airtel and Airtel Money, that now it's going to be made easier. You can give through the wallet as well. So there are these ways that you can give, and really want to encourage you to consider being a regular giver here at Flood. So now I'm going to invite you to take just a few minutes to just like pray and see what God might put on your heart. You got two papers. There's a big paper and a small paper. You can just fill in the small paper. You can keep the big one to go with you. And this on the small one, You just fill that in, and then our team is going to come and collect those. Just take a moment to just pray together. God, I thank you. I thank you, Lord, for you are good and you are amazing. I thank you, Father, for in you we find ourselves. I thank you, God, for in you we have all that we need. I pray, Father, that you would be the Lord of all that we have. You will be the Lord of our lives and everything in it. In the name of Jesus, amen.